Honestly, I think there is a big, big, big misunderstanding on what is the proper way of training, in my opinion, because I think that the sentence quality over quantity is some sort of misleading.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gorination. My name is Phil, and today's guest is an exceptional athlete, somebody who polarizes and who has a special training approach. I'm really happy to welcome you to the show, Matteo Spinazzola, also known as Matteo Deu.
Hi to everyone. Thanks. Thank you for the invite.
I'm also really thankful that we made this. And before we kick off, before I can tell a lot how, like, all these questions that the people have, how do you present yourself?
Well, it's a very already a very difficult question, actually, because if you want me to present myself as the athlete or as the person, because, you know, it's two different worlds. I can tell you that Deu, for me, is a different person than Matteo. Before knowing calisthenics, I was a very introvert person that always felt, you know, this desire to show what he felt inside. So for me, starting to training and knowing calisthenics also presented me the opportunity to face limits. For me, this is, training calisthenics means this for me. So I started this sport to represent the athlete that wants to fight against limits. So I think this is the best description of what is myself and also my idea and approach to training.
Okay, so also like a lot of development, not only physically, but also mentally happened for you through the sport. Can you tell us more about the old Matteo and how he transformed through getting to know calisthenics?
Yeah, of course. The first thing I can tell you is that I was pretty different. I mean, like the opposite before starting the sport, also for what concerns limits, because I saw myself, yeah, like a very positive and energetic person, but in the same time, I was seeing myself as a very weak person. So I remember that I started to train because I wanted to get engaged with a girl that said simply no to me, and that she saw me as a friend, and that was my, you know, my switch to start training. And so in the beginning, I wanted to train just to get fit. And I remember that in the gym, I was seeing people doing pull-ups, and I was thinking that it was too hard for me to do something like that, that I'm, that there was not even, I didn't even have to try, because I would never be able to even do pull-ups, okay? And then after a while that I started training, I saw a video of Animal for King doing a muscle up. And in that exact moment, it's like my mind exploded, because I said to myself, I didn't even think that I could go over the bar. I mean, for me, over the bar, that was the ceiling. And that ceiling was like the, you know, the limited dimension of my mind. And after that, everything changed. I was like, if I can go over the bar with two arms, I can go over the bar with one arm. I can do it weight. It was likely in a second, it became the exact opposite. And so also my goals completely changed. I was the, as I said, I wanted to pursue the battle against limits, not to get fit. It was just nothing important to me anymore. And yeah, so my mind completely, you know, turned on itself. Yeah. This is what I can say.
Wow. So, it describes best, I think, the transformation of not only your body, but also your mind. And I think this is even the bigger part, as it seems for you. Do you think today, like, there is something that is impossible for you? Or how is your thinking today? How is your mindset when you approach a new move or something?
No, actually, I don't think of anything impossible, because in the last years, 2 years ago, there was a particular event in which I understood that it's like, you know, you can always really progress and step also into the field of what you consider impossible, that maybe you just consider it as impossible, but that it's actually not. It's just really, really difficult. You tend to consider it impossible, but if you can always go like even, you know, a little bit better than previous time, there is actually no dead point to this process. So actually, no, I can think of very, very, very hard stuff, maybe in this moment or in a short period of time, but I can't think of anything impossible, actually.
Wow. Crazy. So yeah, it makes sense. It really sums up all the stuff that we see as like followers, fans, whatever, on your social medias, etc. And yeah, like when you started calisthenics, what was your goal? At first, you said the pull up was the first thing.
Well, when I started calisthenics, I was training in gym with weights for 2 years, so I could already do some pull-ups. Actually, I could already do like weighted dips, one-arm push-ups, L-sit, because I was training in a good way. I mean, when I was training for my physique, I was training acceptably good, I can say. Also, I was training for a period of time. I was training at home, so I was doing like pull-ups on the you know, on the door, something like that. And I did lots of push-ups because it was the, you know, more comfortable exercise. So in the beginning, I started with that. And then I just wanted to emulate what I was seeing in the videos of Hannibal, Bartendals, something like that. Actually, it started like, you know, I had my little crew with my friends. It started like fun. Actually, just wanted to replicate stuff. But then after a while, I realized that I really liked this, you know, continuous challenge of the sport. And then the thing completely degenerated into, you know, a continuous battle to achieve something harder and harder.
Okay, because I before the interview I also watched your your transformation on your YouTube channel, and what made me smile or like even respect more is that you like you don't have this high-end gym where you have like everything, but you train a lot on, I saw in the street, like I don't even know how to call this, but you know, like a sign or a handle on the street, and you did your exercise there. That's crazy. Like, tell us more about your will to grow and to use everything that you have to grow. Or
yeah, of course, in like I said in the beginning, I was seeing the videos of these guys training not only in parks but also in the streets. In fact, you know, we call it calisthenics, but it's also called the street workout. And we were doing a real street workout because we were the first in Italy to do this sport. I mean, in that period, there were like another crew in north of Italy. I'm in the middle of Italy, near Rome. But, you know, it was more like a momentary thing, okay? There was a great YouTuber that started a forum in that period, but we were the first crew. So we were the first to do this. There was no gym good for doing calisthenics, no courses, nothing. So we adapted with everything. And so we, in the first, I have these fantastic memories of the first years because we like moved from place to place, but from really bad places. I mean, the first park, like, didn't have anything, like only floor and some old, you know, it was a park for kids, so, you know, something like that. And then we moved to another park that had something more, you know, particular, like some bars that were not really bars. For us, it were bars, but they were not meant like that. And then from other structures on the beach, but nothing was supposed to be used for training. So we moved till we had the opportunity to be in a gym, because the physical education professor of one of my friends saw him, and he had a gym, and he was interested in it, in this sport. But that happened 2 years after we continuously moved from place to place.
Wow. So yeah, a lot of creativity needed, and yeah, still use the environment and the stuff that you had to progress. People were interested in how long did you do basics, or because today, if we watch your videos, you mostly do some crazy stuff. But do you still do basics? And also, most important, in the beginning, did you also start with push-ups, pull-ups? Did you do them as well?
Yeah, I definitely did basics for, I would say that I never did a period of just basics, but I did it when I was training in the gym. I mean, in the case I was doing dips, push-ups, and I can tell you that, yeah, actually, except for pull-ups that were like medium good, on push-ups, I was already good, I can say, because as I said, I could do 100 push-ups very, very easily. And I remember that I could already do, like, with bad form, I'm honest, but like 100 push-ups, I could already do it before starting calisthenics. So I was pretty trained on that. Also, pistol squats, I tried it and I could already do some reps. And then I continued to train them, but in parallel with skills. And actually, it's the same thing that I do now, because I'm still training lots of pull-ups, of dips. In fact, from time to time, this kind of classic videos pop up on my Instagram or YouTube. The only difference is that now I'm training really a lot of things, so I just rotate some things. I never quit doing pull-ups, but maybe for some time I do weighted pull-ups. Other times I do endurance pull-ups. Other times I do just holds. So I rotate like this. Same for skills. In general, for skills, I'm trying to always switch to harder version of the skill just to preserve time. So maybe I'm not training standard front lever anymore, but I'm training pull-ups, one arm front lever, something like that. I'm trying to maintain the skill by training other things, but definitely basics built me a huge foundation in the beginning, for sure.
Okay, because when I watch your videos, I always think, wow, how do these joints and tendons, how is it possible to do something? And my first idea would be, yeah, basics and, of course, mobility. But maybe you can explain more. Why are your joints so strong?
I can tell you that this is the probably the question that people ask me the most. But actually, I didn't think I did anything special in this field, because I have, you know, a pretty simple idea about training and progression. I just think that, you know, if you build it, your body, your whole conditioning, step after step, of course, there could be, you know, differences from person to person, but you can actually strengthen your body, not only in your muscle, but really on your joints. What I can tell you I did from my point of view, it was to always make the step forward. And I tell you this because sometimes I see that in the calisthenics community, there is a first period in which people want to, you know, accomplish the most famous skills, most beautiful skills. And they, you know, they do this step forward every time. So they, you know, have the tuck progressions, then advanced tuck, straddle. When they reach the full, it's just like they, you know, in my opinion, they start to get slower because, you know, they reach this full planche, full front lever. Yeah, they start to add pull-ups, something like that. But it's like if it gets, you know, slower, they don't tend to, for instance, add ankle weights. That is, you know, a huge difference on the old. It's what you actually did when you were going from tuck to advanced tuck to full. The difference is that when you reach full, you stop to progress in that kind of load. You just different. You just go on a different work by doing pull-ups, presses. So you add motions, but you do not add the load on the old itself. So I think that this kind of work, you know, it is just if someone reaches 1 kilo on bench press and then just starts to do slow bench press with 100 kilos, fast bench press, lots of press, but always with 100 kilos. Instead, if you really go for harder variations, you really get strengthened in your joints. So also approaching particular exercises also under particular angulations, it actually strengthens you under every angle, which is a great difference, because if you're just used to work on three angles, if for any reason it could be a mistake or, you know, anything that could happen, you go outside that angle, you're probably gonna get injured. Instead, if you're all strengthened up, that can't happen. So in the past I was seeing some at least in general, I have to do some checks on their like muscles, joints, to see if everything is okay. And I have to say, I have to admit, I'm pretty lazy on this kind of thing. I go like once in a couple of years, something like that. And the doctor who was checking me was saying that my structure, for instance, on the shoulders, yes, maybe they can get inflamed, but they are so stuck in place now for the muscles and the conditioning that I've built around that it's likely impossible that they can have a huge injury because they are fixed in place. Okay. So it's this kind of work. I think that it's just progressive overload under many different angles. That is the key, in my opinion, to strengthen everything.
Wow. Really interesting, because I can imagine, because you also work with some bad form, or like let's call it, for me it seems like weird form, like some half ROM, stuff like that, and I can imagine a lot of people are hating about that, like saying, oh, this is shit, or I don't know what. How do you respond to these, because you make some thoughts about it, you don't do it just because it's fun, but you have some thoughts behind.
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, I think there is a big misunderstanding on what is the proper way of training, in my opinion, because I think that the sentence quality over quantity is some sort of misleading, because you people tend to take quality as something like doing something in complete motion, slow motion, controlled motion, something like that. Instead, I think the quality means something that is useful to build strength. That, in my opinion, is quality. So, of course, if the quantity is directed on a whole different point, that won't help you. But if the kind of approach to quantity is intelligent, that is actually a great quality work. And honestly, I think that there is an enormous misunderstanding in training, especially in calisthenics, because it's a sport that is really related to the concept of beauty and technique. But if you already see other sports, like for instance, arm wrestling, in arm wrestling, the bad form stuff is like accepted, because they saw that, for instance, cheated curls built more strength than strict curls, simply for the fact that you are continuously using a lot of weight. The fact is, I really often talk about this because it's a really important, you know, topic for me, because sometimes people ask me, if you cheat a curl, you are deloading some weight. Okay, because you are cheating. So what is the difference between doing this and doing a curl with less weight? The difference is in the points of the movements and in all the muscles that work on the movement. Because for what concerns biceps, for instance, yes, that is true. If you do something proper and you do something with 20 kilos more, but cheat 20 kilos, yes, the work on the biceps is the same. The difference is that other muscles work on that movement. For instance, forearms, trapezius, and those muscles are not involved in the cheating. I mean, the forearms are really holding that much weight. Trapezius is still feeling that much weight, and there are also different parts of the movement. So when you cheat in the beginning, you're actually closing the movement by yourself. So the top part actually feels that more kilograms. The negative also feels that more kilograms. So in general, I always notice that this kind of approach is actually more, it gives better results. Of course, it can vary from, exercise to exercise. But to me, it's a great truth, honestly. And in fact, I'm doing also some videos called The Truth About Training, in which I do some lack of parallelism between bad form and good form to make people understand why something can help for the other thing, and also vice versa, of course.
Well, it reminds me a little of the interview that I had with Saibov. He also preaches the if you have the goal of doing 30 pull-ups, you first do them in bad form and your form gets better and better from training to training. But not you don't start with 15 pull-ups and then 17. Like this was his training approach. And
In fact, I am pretty, I agree pretty much with him, and same for him in my, towards me, because I think the same. And the funny thing is that some very strong athletes, with good genetics, actually tell you the same thing on other fields, because there are many, many athletes that say that the best thing to learn skills is just to attempt them, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you go for attempts, you are actually practicing with bad form in the beginning. It's something that I think really everyone did in his journey in calisthenics, actually. Maybe in the beginning, but everyone attempted something that was beyond him. And the funny thing is that I actually don't, on some extent, I don't recommend that because I say, yeah, maybe it's good in terms of learning something on certain extents, but it's pretty dangerous for injuries. So for what concerns the kind of approach, I prefer to build a huge foundation in the beginning. In fact, what I'm doing now, I'm doing it just because I'm training, 10 years in calisthenics, 12 in general. And so I see that my body can handle this kind of work. I'm not making others in the beginning work out like that. But maybe, when you go ahead, I can see, really even very strong athletes doing lots of planche presses, also arching them just to do more of reps, which is a very intelligent thing because the training volume expands a lot like that. But, there are some exercises in which this is accepted and others in which this is not. But it's actually the same thing.
Okay. Is it also a little bit related to the fact that you didn't compete for some time now, or do you plan to compete again?
No, that is actually a different thing because I was ready to compete the year in 2018, but there were a problem with the regulations, like internal problems, because if you wanted to present some elements, you had to communicate them in advance, but there was no actual communication between me and the judges before. There were some problems, and I wanted to, as I always did, do my championship in the way I planned it and I wanted to show. So I was a bit fed up with this kind of behavior. And so I quit the championship. And I didn't, quit the idea of competing, but I'm more pursuing, my own goals, because I'm also, I definitely changed my way of training and of seeing calisthenic strength. I never felt that those championships were really evaluating the strength of an athlete, because you could do just like a couple of reps, you had shortened time, so it was difficult for someone that could do many things to really express all his potential. And then of course the thing changed a lot also, because the rules changed a bit from the last time I competed. For instance, the way I did the set against Andrea La Rosa with the weight, and in the first year, they were setting a limit on the weight that could be used, like you can use more than 10 kilos, for instance, because they know me a lot, because I know all this person involved in the calisthenics community in Italy, so they probably they were thinking maybe this guy wants to do this kind of set with more weight. And in the end, for to have a more simple evaluation, they decided that everything could be just body weight, and this is a pretty huge limit, because if you say that I could do max 2 reps in competition and I can't add weight on them, it means that it makes no difference if I can do 2 1-arm pull-ups or 10 1-arm pull-ups. In the case we became the same, so I'm not really satisfied by this kind of competitions, also because it's not something that I added, because I remember in 2012 Evgeny Kocherga did one-arm chin-ups with 16 kilos in competition. So I wasn't the first to bring weight in competition. I was the first to do all the set with the weight, a part of the set, all with the weight. But because my rival at the time was very, very strong, and we often had this battle, for years. We always were in final, so I had to think out of the box.
I've never heard, and I didn't even, I think I saw the competition, but I thought it was like, I don't know, some show or something, but you really, during the competition, you had weight, like you had ankle weights or what?
Yeah. It was permitted because you could use the weight. The fact is that no one ever thought about using the weight for, for a set.
Yeah.
And it was really hard, but it was the only way, due to the short time of set, to really evaluate my strong points that were, one-arm pull-ups, Hephaesto. And if you can do many reps, the only way you can't do slow reps, because, all the time of the competition goes up. It was the only way to give justice to my level in those elements.
Interesting, because somebody also asked about the battle with La Rosa. Maybe I will just ask, read the comment. He has battled and beat La Rosa twice, and I believe that it was in a final battle in both occasions. Was he confident before the battles? Did he consider La Rosa a threat to his title? Does he consider him as a friend, because in 2015 they hugged after the battle? Does he think that La Rosa is the strongest Italian athlete after him? And if not, then who? a long comment, but I think... Yeah,
of course. I'm definitely in good, I'm friends with Andrea. He is doing like a different thing now. He's more on the more like the influencer kind of using his social, while I'm more on the raw footage stuff, something like that. But yeah, of course. And we had different battles. And I can tell you that probably the fact that I'm also not competing actually anymore is also because the kind of rivalry, you know, is not competing anymore. We like had these many battles, and I was feeling like towards him really a good form of respect. And I definitely saw him as a very strong opponent. In fact, I was the only one to beat him, and he was the only one to beat me. So it was pretty, you know, a pretty fun thing every year. Well, the first year we battled, I didn't know him. I mean, he was like in the beginning of his you know, escalation of strength. And so, yeah, I won, but he really gave me a hard battle in the end. And I was actually surprised. Then the other times, probably it was like, I remember the second time which he won, I was coming from two victories, and I was like, I don't know. I wasn't motivated, and when I'm motivated, I always lose for some reasons. It's like my real self really doesn't pop up. And instead, the other time I lost, I was really surprised by the time I lost was the first time I was really convinced about winning, and instead I lost because it really was. In 2016, it was like super, super strong. So I really didn't expect that. And that's the reason why in 2017, I like approached the competition with this idea of thinking outside the box, because the other year I was like thinking inside the box at its limit, but I still lost. So I said, I have to think about something that someone never really, you know, expects from me, like something that, you know, it also surprises my rival, because, you know, I mean, the funny thing was that I actually had two couples of ankle weights because I did another set in that there were more sets during the competition, of course, like preliminary stage, something like that. I did a set with just 2 kilos. I had really small ankle weights. And when I was warming up against him, I was using this little ankle weights. And just a moment before the judges call us, I just bring out of my, you know, I bring out this huge angle weights. And so everyone was like, what is this? What is this? Because, you know, also 10 kilos angle weights are also pretty rare for some, we can say something like that. So they were really huge. And so I took my, you know, I took him as a serious opponent. I really had to, you know, give my best to win that last time. Yeah. For what concerns his strength level, actually, you know, I think he is very, very strong indeed. So I don't want to do like a chart of Italian athletes of the moment. Or I mean, you already know. The strongest Italian athletes, pretty much, but I think he is indeed still very strong.
Wow, nice story. Yeah, I would have loved to see, like, to be at the competition and see you performing with ankle weights. I definitely have to check this after the video, or maybe we will put something here in the video during the interview. We'll see. So something that is also quite special about you, I think, is that you're also training legs. And this is something that for somebody who does quite some difficult statics, it's not normal, let's say, it at this high level. Does your leg training is counterproductive against your heavy skills like Maltese or I don't know?
Well, definitely. Weighted legs that, you know, that weight more surely are a disadvantage. I can notice this just because of my center of gravity. You know, for my like my whole structure, I have a center of gravity that's a little bit shifted. Also because I don't have long arms, I have short arms and heavy legs, so I really have to lean a bit more on doing some things. if you compare to other that maybe have, you know, thin legs, long arms, that don't have to, you know, lean forward to do, you know, planche, front lever also. But actually, I never saw it as, you know, as a problem, because I just wanted to get strong everywhere. So yeah, probably for what is my point of view, probably that more weight, you know, makes me a bit weaker than what I could have been if I have thin legs. But in that case, I would have been weaker on legs, which for me is you know, a field of strength like others. So I don't, you know, for me it's okay like this, and I actually am really happy of training legs. So that's it.
Okay, interesting. And you also have your book, and you wrote a book about all your experience, but also I think about a special workout approach, let's call it. Do you want to tell us more about your book? What are your thoughts behind?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that I'm translating it in these days. I mean, it's almost over, so the English version is coming very soon, I think in February, if everything goes well. Well, what can I say? I'm very satisfied by this book, not only for the final result, because I've been writing it for 3 years. And I'm... You know, I really wrote an honest book from my point of view, which was the most important thing I want to, you know, to do. I want to do something that I was proud of and that really represented my way of seeing things. But I'm even more satisfied by the reaction of people that that read it. I really could never expect something so positive in response, because it's a very deep and particular book, because it's also difficult to say what kind of type of book it is, because I put on the site where I upload it in Italian, I put it as an autobiography, but it's actually not something like that, because it starts like a biography, but then it completely changes to other, you know, feels, because the main topic is the relationship between mind and body, and this kind of relationship is seen throughout lots of different aspects, which is actually, I always related this kind of things with training, but the book itself is not about training, it's about something else that I related with training. And this kind of relationship is explained under a lot of aspects, under, you know, emotional aspects, under behavior aspects, under thought aspects. So it's really a kind of book that goes into this kind of topic, and everything is explained by my eyes, by all my experiences in life. And I was being really, really honest and sincere with everything I was talking about. And this thing was the only thing that I was like, I don't know if people can actually understand my point of view on some things, or like my tone of writing some things. And actually, surprisingly, really lost person writes me that the thing they love the most, it's actually that the book made them like they could read it like they were myself. They said they were feeling the exact same emotion I was, you know, with which I wrote that exact part of the book. So this is tell me that this is a very hard thing to do, to communicate the exact same feelings. And so, yeah, I'm really, really, really satisfied about this.
Great. With your experience, as you say, like 12 years of training and 10 years of calisthenics, so, and this is what I think like helps you a lot to write really a book out of experience. And with this experience, if you would now go back, like, let's say 7 years, so not the completely beginner, but really from intermediate to the pro that you became, what would you do differently with your knowledge from today?
This is a particular question, because if I have to see my choices, of course, in the past, I would definitely make different choices now. But the fact is that I think that what I realized now, what I think now, is probably a consequence of that kind of mistakes, because something, you know, some of my ideas are built up on like exclusion of other ideas. For instance, I maybe now I'm certain of a thing just because I tried any other thing and I saw that that didn't work. So actually, I wouldn't change anything, because I don't know what the outcome could be, because maybe if I had the same idea years ago, when I was having less conditioning, maybe I could have faced, you know, some injuries, for instance, or, you know, you can't predict the outcome of a different situation. So I'm satisfied like this, and so I'm not regretting anything.
Wow, sounds good. Your current training schedule, this was also like one of the most voted questions. Can you tell us how your typical week looks like right now?
Okay, in this exact moment, for the fact that, you know, gyms are closed, it's a little bit different. You know, it's a bit compressed. So I would like to explain it in a more, you know, complete way when gyms are open. When gyms are open, my training schedule is in general 6 days a week. On 3 days, I was training morning and afternoon, and the total hours was 8 hours a day, 8.5, because it were like 3 hours in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. And instead, I alternate a heavy day with a light day. The 3 light days are like just short days. They are not light days, actually. And they are like 3 hours long. So I alternate 1 hour a day with 3 hours the day after, and I do it for 6 days, and on Sunday I have rest.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like a packed week. So in total per week, how many hours do you put into your workout?
Almost, you know, like 35, almost 40 also.
So
but, you know, it's also, yeah, but it's
job.
Also my job. So I'm always in the gym, so it's not something that, you know, that is heavy for me, because I also listen a lot to my body. I mean, if there's a day that I really don't want to train, I don't train, for instance. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love it, so it's not, I also this kind of resistance to lots of hours of training is what I built during the years. For instance, in the beginning, I was training like 3 days a week for 2 hours. Then I just increased, but not to train a lot something, because actually I'm the very opposite of this. I don't stress my body a lot on certain things, but I had to train many different things, so I required more time.
Okay. And people also asked about your nutrition. Some said, yeah, you don't eat a lot. How do you have energy? But can you maybe talk about your nutrition in general?
I can tell you that I have the most distant, you know, the most far diet for for what could be the diet of an athlete, because, you know, probably in general, lots of people in the training field ask about cheat day. I can tell you that every day for me is cheat day.
Wow.
Yeah, I eat lots of, I eat really in a free way. I mean, I don't over exaggerate things. I'm not, you know, like those guys that can eat a jar of Nutella just for fun. I never did something like that. I would never do it. But I eat pasta every day. I eat, you know, I don't know. I eat some snacks, biscuits every day. I eat like that. And I think that honestly, this is, you know, a balanced thing with the way I train, because I really train a lot, always going, you know, maxing out. So probably this is the good amount of energy my body needs to, you know, to keep this kind of balance, because I think that I was eating, you know, chicken and salad, probably I wouldn't be able to, you know, have energy all the day.
Okay. Yeah, we're closely coming to an end of the interview. A lot of input, a lot of stuff. And to sum up, before we go into the quick questions, quick answers, the last question, what are your goals this year? What can we expect to see from you 2021?
In general, I would say it's been a while, honestly, since I've put some goals in my mind, because I just have one big goal, which is to improve the most I can in the most things I can, simply. So I can predict what will come and to what extent. I will just take it, you know, the most I can in every situation.
Sounds like a healthy approach. Yeah. So quick questions, quick answers. Yeah, I always feel bad asking this to an Italian person. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Pizza or hamburger?
Yeah, burger. Yeah.
No, pizza. Definitely pizza. I think pizza is like, you know, top tier food, probably.
Okay. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Probably more a cat person.
Okay. Do you have a favorite location for holidays?
I love the seaside. So I don't have an exact favorite one, but definitely I'm more for seaside.
Okay. What do you prefer, rings or the bar?
In general, I would say rings for the simple fact that you can do more things on rings. In general, also other things, but you know, they offer you a bigger set of things you can do. So, if for instance I had to choose between buying a bar or buying rings, for now I'll definitely buy rings.
Okay. Great. Do you have some athletes that you follow on social media and that you look up to or that you use for inspiration?
Actually, I follow a lot of people, and it's hard to say which one I prefer. I can tell you that I'm pretty satisfied with the evolution of calisthenics for what concerns Italian athletes a lot, because I'm seeing lots of videos coming up from them, and I'm seeing that they are really trying to bring something new, which is what I want to see. Actually, I want to see someone that brings up new things, that really keeps pushing the boundaries, and that not just plays. Let's say something like that, with the same stuff, just practicing more and more. I want to see, you know, new things brought up.
Okay. Do you have a favorite book that you want to recommend or that you just want to tell?
I can't say my book because, you know, it would be too... Well, honestly, I have to say I'm not a person that reads a lot. Actually, I read very few books in my life, so it's pretty strange that I wrote one. I can tell you something like that. I love the Lord of the Rings. I also have the book, but I read the first pages, like 100 pages, and then I was just like, wow, I love this thing, but my brain is just exploding. Many names. So I would recommend something like that just because I love the story. I know also the story of previous books like Silmarillion, but I never read them. So I can mostly, you know, suggest the story rather than the books.
That's cool. That's something that we didn't have until now. Somebody who recommends a book that you didn't read before. So that's interesting. Do you have a favorite movie?
The Lord of the Rings, but well, except from that, I already answered this question before. No, I really can think of. Honestly, maybe definitely Avengers Endgame. Yeah, I really loved it. I'm more for this kind of, you know, this kind of movies in general. Pretty, you know. Energetic movies, like also I remember years ago I also loved the Fast and Furious. Then when it became like Transformers like thing, it was like over exaggerating things. Maybe I was like, come on, this is not so much you know, real. But in general, yeah, movies like that. So The Lord of the Rings for me is number one, but then I can say in the most you know, recent movies, definitely Avengers was. All the Marvel movies were really amazing for me.
Okay, nice. Yeah, the best calisthenics event you've ever visited?
Well, I have the amazing memories from the first World Championship I took part in, which was actually the second one. I was invited to the first one through YouTube, but for me it was like so strange thing that it was like a fake message, so I didn't respond and I didn't present it, but it was actually the first one. So wow. Then I was like, damn, I'm an idiot. And so instead the second time I was there because I saw the videos of the first competition, I was this was true. So that was I have like amazing memories because for me, it was like to, you know, to enter in a dream, really, because in those years, which was 2012, calisthenics was starting to get big, but in Italy, it was really still a very small thing. Also, you know, we didn't have like social interactions like now. And so those athletes you were seeing on YouTube videos seemed so far away from you. And I remember this scene where we were like me and my friend, like late in comparison to other arrivals at the airport. So they brought us for dinner in the room. And immediately we saw like everyone we were seeing in videos all together. So it was like, I don't know, it was like very, very strange, but in a really positive way. So that is the best memory I have related to a calisthenics event, definitely.
Nice. Yeah. And then the last question, what would be your message to the calisthenics community right now?
The message I want to give is to take your time to progress, because there is, you know, no rush. But at the same time, I would suggest to always, you know, point for always aim for something, you know, greater, to have no limits, to, you know, don't put limits on you, also on your you know, on your thoughts. Don't ever think I want to be able to do 50 pull-ups. Don't put a limit. Just go for it. I want to do as many possible pull-ups I can. And so take your time, but see your journey as an infinite journey that can lead you to you don't even know where. So, and strive for that. Strive for to reach infinity.
That's a great message to end this. For the people who are now interested in you, how can they get in touch with you? Where do they find you?
Well, they definitely find me on Instagram at Matteo Deu. or well on YouTube. My user is the one with, or well on Facebook. I always add, you know, the information under my YouTube videos, so they can find everything in the descriptions.
Okay, we will put also all the links in the underneath this video. So for people who will want to find you on YouTube, on Instagram, etc., they can find you there. And also, you also offer coaching, which is something that maybe one or two of the listeners are interested in. So who is like the appropriate person for who is your coaching?
Actually, there is no appropriate, people. Everyone is appropriate, because I do beginners programs or super advanced programs. For me, it's not a problem. So everyone can contact me for that.
Okay. So yeah, if you were interested in your special, in Matteo's special training advice and training methods, I would recommend to you checking the links in the description. You'll find your YouTube, etc. People were also asking, yeah, can you maybe please add English subtitles under your videos?
In general, I'm doing it. In general, I'm doing it for, you know, important videos. Sometimes they ask me, I write some status on Instagram in Italian. If I don't add subtitles, sometimes it's just because the message is more related to the Italian community for that specific, story, maybe, that not in general. But in general, for YouTube videos, for, you know, a thing about training, I'm always adding subtitles.
Great. Yes, so we're coming to an end. Big, big thank you to everyone listening to this. It's been over an hour. I really appreciate if somebody takes so much time to listen to us. A lot of big, big thank you to you, Matteo, for taking the time and for being here. And if you want to let this series continue, give us a thumbs up, share it with somebody who can use it, comment who should be interviewed next. And Matteo, you can end the episode. And again, big, big thank you that you made this possible.
Thank you for inviting again, and thanks to everyone who listened to us. Bye, guys.